This is Lord Death of the DWMA, and you're watching another episode of Goth Geek Podcast. Now stay tuned, or I'll be forced to give you a Reaper Chop. And I mean it.
Hey everybody, it's me, Nicholas Black, and you're listening to episode 37 of the Goth Geek Podcast. Happy New Year! On today's episode, we're going to discuss Betty White, the Spider-Man movie, the Book of Boba Fett, and many more things. But of course, before we get into all of that, please give us a like, a follow, a subscribe on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at The Goth Geek, or check out our Etsy shop at gothgeek.net. Just type in gothgeek.net, takes you right to our shop, where you can see all of our awesome items like our posters, coffin dice boxes, dice jewelry, all sorts of cool things. Always adding new items, almost on a daily basis. Check it out, gothgeek.net. And now, as always, on with the show. So right before the end of 2021, we had the saddest news, I feel like, the passing of Betty White. It seems like this happens almost every year. Like, on December 31st, like, some big star or prolific person passes away. And it's, I mean, last episode we talked about the passing of Anne Rice, and now here we are talking about Betty White. I mean, Anne Rice was definitely more about more goth geek related, but I mean, at the same time, Betty White, I don't know, I mean, she was 99 years old, gonna be 100 in like 18 days from when she passed. She was gonna be 100 on January 17th, and everybody was really looking forward to it. It seems like everybody was really excited about the idea of her hitting 100 for some reason. She just had a huge career. She was like the first woman of television was one of her titles. A pioneer for women everywhere, really, in that world, for television and movies, media. And so it really seems like we lost like a shining light when she passed away, and it was just kind of unexpected. It seems like it, it was said it was just natural causes, which at 99, I mean, yeah, that makes sense, you know, and I guess it says something that everybody was kind of shocked that she passed away at 99. I mean, 99 years, that's a long time. Most people pass away, most people die at, you know, fucking 88, 87, 80s, 70s even. And no one bats an eye, more than, you know, normal. But here we are with Betty White passing away, and everyone's just like, what? She passed away? Like, how? How could this happen? How could this happen to her? She was fine, wasn't she? She was 99 years old. You know, she's done well. She lives a very long life. But still, it is sad, you know, because the fact is, we did all love her, I feel like. Yeah, she may not have been, you know, the most, not exactly goth, but definitely in geek pop culture, she was well known. From her Golden Girls stint, most notably, for Golden Girls, which still plays constantly on, like, I think Hallmark Channel has it, and like A&E, Lifetime. There's a ton of like cable channels that like play reruns of Golden Girls. I come from the era that actually watched Golden Girls as a child, and remember those episodes, and still watch them today on occasion, because they are kind of wholesome for the most part, and they do come in this really odd time of sitcom era history. And what's interesting, I mean, when you look up the history of Golden Girls, is that one, Betty White, I don't remember all the characters. I know there was like Blanche, I can't remember all the characters' names. I'm not a huge fan. Like, I'm a fan, but not like a hardcore fan. But if you look at their ages, they were all pretty close to the same age. Even the lady who played like the mother of one of the characters, like she played the older of all of them. She was actually like the same age as Betty White. And Betty White outlived them all. Amazingly, like by about 10 years. I think the last one died in like 2011, before her. And so it kind of is amazing, that she had that amazing life, that she was still doing movies, shows and commercials up until, I think, just a few years ago, 2018, 2019, right before the pandemic, I think, basically, just shy of the pandemic. It's just, she had an amazing career. But yeah, she was the same age as a lot of the many of the characters, and they were all really young when you really think about it. I'm 41, and I'm pretty sure that if you look at their ages, they were all in their mid-40s, early 40s, when they were on Golden Girls. And it kind of boggles the mind, because when I watched that show as a kid, they seemed so much older. It, like, breaks my brain when I think about it. They were not that old playing as actors, actresses. And then when you actually look up like the Wikipedia, like how old their characters are supposed to be, even then they weren't supposed to be that old. Like they weren't really like, it was just that time period in the '80s. It's like a Cocoon, you know, that like that whole thing. You know, the people, the actors who play those characters weren't as old as you think they were. So I definitely recommend, if you didn't know that stuff, look it up, because it's really interesting. But Golden Girls was a huge, huge, especially the last 5-10 years, pop culture thing, phenomenon. There we go, is the word I'm trying to think of. There was tiki glasses and board games and Funko Pops of them, and all sorts of stuff had blown up with the Golden Girls on there. And then, of course, Betty White did that Snickers commercial a few years back. I think it was might have been a Super Bowl commercial, but that really got her into the limelight again. She did that rom-com with Ryan Reynolds, and back probably about 5 or 6 years ago, and that really got her out there as well again, got her name out there. And then Hot in Cleveland. Again, like she just keeps popping up. Like every few years, she would do something else, and you know, prove that she, you know, there was no stopping her. That, you know, age was just a number. Truly, 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 just a number. And it was just amazing, the career and tenacity, I think, that she had. But yeah, if there's a great documentary on her and her life. That was done, I think, in 2018. It's on Amazon Prime Video, I believe. At least that's where I watched it back during the pandemic lockdown back in 2020. And it's a really great watch, just to see like all the different things that she's done. She has had a huge career, and she will be greatly missed. I can't. As someone had posted, and I'm paraphrasing, you know how big of a career you've had, or how you know how much of a impact you've had when dying at 99 seemed too young. And I can't remember whose tweet that was when she passed away. It might have been Ryan Reynolds or somebody else famous. But basically, that kind of summed it up. Like, she was 99. Like, that's a long life. We should all be happy for the, you know, all lucky and happy to have, if we ever get to live that, you know, to live that long. And yet we're all like, what? What do you mean she's passed away? Like, what do you mean she died? It's crazy. But yeah, so that was very sad to end 2021 on such a sad note, with her passing away. And maybe it's just because we all wanted her to make it to 100. Maybe we just all were kind of like really wanting that goal of her getting there. But yeah, so so that happened. Moving on from the sad news of Betty White passing away to, you know, more happier news. I saw Spider-Man Far From Home. Not Far From Home. No Way Home. Far From Home. I mean, I saw Far From Home too, but that's a few years old. No Way Home. And I think we're kind of out of spoiler area now. Like, we can talk about it. It's been a few weeks. And fucking Jesus, that movie. Wow. Like, I have not walked away from a movie and just been like, damn, that was a good movie in a long time. It fucking had everything. I mean, it was the worst kept secret about Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. But still, getting to see them and how you get to see them and the interactions with them and how they interact with each other and how they interact with Tom Holland, Spider-Man. Just amazing. It was just, it was a masterpiece. Goddamn, that was such a good movie. I mean, there's definitely some issues. I felt like I watched a couple of other podcasts and whatnot and reviews, and there were definitely, I agree that, yeah, there could have been some things that were different. You know, Peter could have asked, you know, for a different kind of spell that could have made his life a lot easier. You know, he could have done things differently, for sure. Doctor Strange could have done things differently. I feel like that would have, you know, the plot would have changed drastically. Why the fuck didn't Peter just push the goddamn button? Like, really? Like, do these criminals need to be saved? Do they? Like, he's not Batman, where, like, he refuses to kill and truly believes in, like, trying to reform all of these people. Like, they're going to be saved someday. Like, I never got that feeling from him. Like, he doesn't kill people, but at the same time, I don't, like, just let him go back and let things happen as they happen. You know, I mean, yeah, he didn't know Aunt May was going to be killed, but still, it's just like, Jesus, like, I don't know. Again, it's a great movie. I'm not shitting on this movie. There's just some things that I feel like realistically he could have asked differently for the spell. He could have asked differently for, he could have done differently. Lots of things could have been done differently. Like, why didn't MJ just push the button? Or Ned eventually, like when they didn't hear from him quite as soon, then the movie would have been over. And I understand that's kind of the point, plot, you know, the movie has to go on. That's the real reason for all this stuff. It's the plot. We know this. But looking from it, from a quote unquote realistic point of view, these questions come up. You know, why didn't he do these things, do it this way? Why didn't Doctor Strange do it this way? But otherwise, oh my God, such a good movie. Seriously, the little moments with the Spider-Men all pointing at each other when Ned yells Peter, William Dafoe God damn, he's a great actor. We've talked about him before as being like the only reason to watch Death Note on Netflix, the Americanized live action Death Note, because he voices Ryuk. I think I'm probably mispronouncing the name, and which is horrible because I'm a huge fan of Death Note. Ryuk? Wait, it's Ryuk? Fuck. I would have to look it up. But that's the reason to watch that horrible, horrible adaptation of Death Note, is because he voices that character. The Death God, or Death Spirit. And, again, Willem Dafoe alone makes this movie worth it. He plays such a good, crazy-ass, split-personality person, a person, character, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Oh, he just does such a great job. Like, you want to hate him, he just does. It's such a great performance. Getting to see Jamie Foxx do Electro, it was good. That's all I have to say about it. I didn't really care about the character too much in Andrew Garfield's movie. But getting to see Andrew Garfield redeem himself by saving MJ. And in case you didn't know from the beginning of all this, spoilers, people. Tons of spoilers. So if you're getting upset with me, it's January. This movie's been out since before Christmas. So yeah, you shouldn't be upset. Since well before Christmas. But yeah, it was such a good movie. If you have not seen this somehow, go see it. If you saw it, go see it again, because it was just such a great Marvel movie. The end credit scenes were good-ish. I don't give a fuck about Venom. I don't give a fuck about any of that. The fact that they dropped that and the little bit of Venom goo. I don't know. I really don't know. Do we want the symbiont in the MCU? And is that how we want it in the MCU? They couldn't do it a different way where, like, I don't know, they go with, like, the original story or a variation of the story? I mean, I know Sony owns Spider-Man, so they have to play nice with Marvel, or Marvel has to play nice with them, I guess, to even get to use Spider-Man in the MCU. Let alone Venom, or a version of Venom. But that was really weird. I mean, for all we know, that might be nothing. They might just be hinting at it. But everybody was, like, freaking out because of the end credit scene from Tom Holland. Not Tom Holland's. I can't even think of his name now. Oh, God. Anyways, from the Venom movies, end credit scene, which I knew about, but I haven't seen the movie, where, you know, they're hinting at the multiverse and him going into the verse, and then, you know, you get to see him in the MCU for a brief moment. That was cool, but I guess, again, but I'm not a big Venom fan, so I don't know. I don't really give a flying fuck about that. I like the Venom character. I just don't know if that's the way we really should be introducing Venom into the MCU, is by the symbiont, a little bit of the symbiont being left behind from a different universe. But, I mean, who knows? It might work out really well. And then the final credit scene, which wasn't a credit scene at all. It was just a trailer, basically, for Doctor Strange's next movie, Into the Multiverse of Madness. I think that's what it's called. It looks good. Looks crazy. We get to see Wanda again. And see, like, how she fits into all this after WandaVision last year. So I'm super excited about that. So yeah, go see Spider-Man if you have not seen it somehow. If you somehow avoided it this entire time, it's been like a month at this point. So I don't know what you've been waiting for. If you're waiting for it to be on Disney Plus, It's probably going to be a little while late still, so go check it out. And then Boba Fett, the Book of Boba Fett, started December 29th. Episode 2 dropped as of yesterday. I'm not going to drop into spoilers or anything because some people might be waiting for all of it to drop before they watch it. Some people like to binge. I love to binge watch, personally. However, I can't do it. Like, I want to binge. Like, I want to wait 8 weeks and then binge watch all 8 episodes or 6 episodes, whatever the hell it is. But I'm impatient. So every Wednesday, I'm like right there watching the next episode. The first episode, I don't feel like was very strong. It wasn't that great. We get to see, you know, his backstory and how I don't think this is a spoiler per se, how he escapes the Sarlacc pit, which is not a spoiler because he had to have escaped it because we saw him in The Mandalorian. So we see how that happens, but I didn't really feel like we got enough of it. I don't feel like we got enough of an explanation. And basically, it's the next two episodes, the first two episodes have been cuts between the present day of him trying to be the new crime lord, taking over Jabba the Hutt's territory, and his backstory of how we got here, basically, or how we got to where he was in The Mandalorian. So we're splitting episode time. I don't know if that's your thing or not. It's not bad. But like I said, the first episode, I didn't get into it. The first episode, I was not keen on it at all. But this week's episode, I liked a hell of a lot more. We got a lot more filler, a lot more intrigue, a lot more story. And yeah, we got some more backstory, but we got a lot more action too. Some really good deep cut nods, which I really liked. Again, as I've said before, the reason I like these shows is because they're in this weird in-between time, between like these transition eras. Like the Bad Batch is during this in-between period when like the Empire is taking over, and so they're transitioning between the Galactic Federation and the Empire, and then the Mandalorian and by proxy Book of Boba Fett is this transition like after the fall of the Empire, and you know the Rebel Alliance or the Alliance, you know, is taken over, and how that is transitioning. And so I really like that. I like seeing these transition periods. Boba Fett, I mean, it's mostly in its own little bubble, per se. I mean, you're not really seeing a wider world, like, so far. Which is fine. It's his journey. Unlike The Mandalorian, where, like, he was doing other stuff. And traveling great distances and whatnot. Boba Fett, he's doing his own thing. Like, he's not trying to, like, you know, he's not a bounty hunter anymore, so he's not going to be traveling a lot. He's trying to build his own little, you know, castle and empire and a little corner of the galaxy. But yeah, like I said, I like the episode 2 a lot more. So I recommend it for sure. Book of Boba Fett, it's on Disney Plus. As you know, I recommend Disney Plus a lot on here. How can I not? It's got a lot of good shit on it. You can watch a lot of your classic Disney shows, a lot of classic Disney Halloween movies, like Nightmare Before Christmas, as well as like classic Christmas movies, of course, and all that bullshit. But mostly it's a good value. It's like $8 a month, and you get all this stuff, all the Marvel movies, all the Star Wars movies, a lot of independent, original stuff that Disney has made that is actually not bad. They made a Doogie Howser style reboot, but it's not. It's a complete reboot. It doesn't like. It's not part of that world at all. But I thought it was kind of fun. Not goth at all. Not really geeky at all. But it was kind of fun. I watched like an episode or two. But yeah, Disney Plus. I definitely recommend. If not for the nostalgia part of it, where like with all your classic Disney movies from your kid childhood, or if not for during Halloween time, they have a ton of Halloween movies on there. And yeah, they're all family friendly, of course, because it's Disney, or mostly family friendly. They do have Fox IP on there as well. But they have like the Haunted Mansion, Nightmare Before Christmas, and a few others. There's been some like classic ones like The Headless Horseman, Ichabod Crane, kind of cartoon movies. Then for the geekiness, for like all the Star Wars crap, for all the Marvel crap, that alone is worth the money. For all the new stuff that keeps coming out, like my wife and I watched, we had missed Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. We didn't see it in theaters. Well, it had dropped on Disney Plus already. So we watched it. It was great. It wasn't a movie I would have paid to go see, just because it's not a character that I'm familiar with. But it was an awesome movie. And because we're paying for Disney Plus, we got to watch it at home. Only like, you know, a few weeks, a month or two at the most, after it was, you know, in theaters. So that alone, it makes it worth it. And I'm not getting paid by Disney Plus or Disney. However, if anybody from Disney somehow overhears this or whatnot, wants to, you know, send us swag or something, by all means, reach out to us. Shameless plug on that one. All right, moving along with other geeky and goth news in the world. So, one of the things that was in the news, and it's a few weeks old, but I don't know if I mentioned it or not, but the no, I think I did mention this, but I'm gonna mention it again just in case you somehow missed this. Is that DC was gonna go ahead and reprint the entire Sandman run ahead of the Netflix streaming series. So yeah, they're gonna go ahead and, because in case you somehow didn't know this, Sandman is a comic book series by Neil Gaiman, and before it comes out as a live action Netflix adaptation, which is supposed to come out sometime this year, 2022. But before that, they are actually coming out with the comic book series. They're reprinting it, all 75 issues. So the release dates are April 5th, 19th, and then May 3rd, May 17th, and then, and so basically they're going to be like collections. So like April 5th, there'll be book one collecting Sandman's 1 through 20. April 19th will be book two collecting 21 through 330. That's a typo. That's got to be a typo from this article. So book two is going to be issues 21 through 37. So they add an extra three in there. Issue 337. Yeah, 75 issues. But there's issues 337. Fucking editors, man. Jesus. 37. And then May 3rd will be book three, and it's the issues 38 through 56, and then book four, 57 through 75. Pardon me. And then, yeah, so that's pretty cool. So if you haven't read these comics, if you have somehow missed them, I've never read all of them. I've only read the ones that involve Death. As I've said before, Death is Dream's sister. Dream is the main character in Sandman. So she is in some of the comics, obviously. But there were some standalone comics with just her in them that Gaiman did, and I have those. I actually have the collector set in hardback for those, which you can also find online, which are amazing. But if you have not read the entire Sandman series, this is a great way of doing that. So that comes out April 5th. So based off that, though, so maybe I haven't talked about this, but based off that, then I would guess that maybe we're not getting the Sandman series till after May, or maybe right at May. Because that would make sense. If they're trying to release this before the book or before the series comes out, because it says to be in 2020 has announced plans to reprint the entire iconic series in 4 new softcore volumes. Each one will come with okay. I don't care about that. They'll have new covers using imagery from the upcoming Netflix streaming series. So the covers will, again, this is all going to be linking with the series. So I would think that because of that they're going to, they're not going to drop the series until all 4 books are out. I could be wrong. So if you haven't seen the if you've not read the Sandman series, comic books, graphic novels, this is a great way to do that at a relatively affordable price. So keep your eyes open. April 5th is when the first book drops. If it's something you're not into, but you're interested in the whole Death aspect of it, because she's a really cool character, I highly recommend the Death collection of her books. You can go out and find that on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I think they even have a paperback version of it now that's a little bit cheaper. And I've mentioned that. I know I've mentioned that before on this podcast. So definitely check that out if you're not interested in Sandman, but you're interested in the other part. So, yeah. Something to think about and look forward to. Let's see what else is going on here. Oh, actually, speaking of Death from Sandman, there was also a manga from Vertigo based on her that I highly recommend. So check that out as well if you're into manga as well. Really good. Little series there. So, again, check that out. And actually, I think I'm going to cut it off there. I was going to talk about a few more things, but we've covered quite a bit. pardon me. My goodness, my throat is a little parched today. A bit dry today. Too much talking, apparently. Start off to the new year. Hopefully we got lots more things to discuss. I'm really going to try... I know I've said it before, but I'm only trying to try to do these podcast episodes every 2 weeks, twice a month. The end of the year there, we were kind of having trouble with vacations and other things. But we're really going to try to do it. So this is the first for 2022. And hopefully we'll have lots more to talk about. I really want to talk about tattoos. That's on my list of topics that I really wanted to discuss. So, yeah. I think that's it for today, though. Thanks for listening. Bye.